Welcome to another edition of 5 Minutes of American History for the Modern Patriot. This is Dr. Susan Rempel. After listening to this podcast, please visit my website, www.bingoforpatriots.com, with more than 500 pages of documents, products, and information to motivate the modern patriot. Have you ever wondered why the framers chose to include a judicial branch in the structure of our federal government? How did the original Supreme Court compare with the court we are familiar with today? The Supreme Court envisioned by the Founding Fathers was far different from the one which we are familiar with today. In fact, the Articles of Confederation, under which the country functioned in 1786, did not even include a judicial branch at all. Critics of the Articles of Confederation argued for the need of a stronger federal government, which included an executive and a judicial branch. George Washington, in a letter to Benjamin Harrison, described the federal government as designed under the Articles of Confederation as half starved and limping. Influenced by the writings of Montesquieu, James Madison did more than just complain about the Articles of Confederation. He developed a plan for a federal government that included three branches. It was introduced at the Federal Convention as the Virginia Plan. One aspect of the Virginia Plan, which was hotly debated, was the proposal for the creation of a Council of Revision. The Council of Revision mentioned in the plan would join the judiciary with the executive, the person we refer to as the president, to provide oversight of the legislature with the potential to veto legislation that had been passed. Anti-Federalists warn that the inclusion of a judiciary in the Council of Revision, or perhaps the creation of a judiciary as a separate branch of the federal government at all, would eventually lead to a tyrannical seizure of power by the third branch. In his Notes on Convention, James Madison reported the following comments by noted anti-federalist Elbridge Gerry. Mr. Gerry doubts whether the judiciary ought to form a part of it, as they will have a sufficient check against encroachments on their own department by their exposition of the laws, which involved a power of deciding on their constitutionality. However, anti-federalists were not lone voices in objecting to the judiciary's involvement in policy review. Rufus King, who would be the Federalist Party's candidate for vice president in 1804 and 1808, as well as its presidential candidate in 1816, stated, "Judges ought to be able to expound the law as it should come before them, free from the bias of having participated in its formation." The concept of a Council of Revision was debated several times, but ultimately it was rejected, and the executive was given the singular responsibility for reviewing legislation passed by the Congress. The executive was given a power the delegates called a negative. We know that power as the veto. Although he was successful in leading the opposition to the judiciary's participation in a Council of Revision, Elbridge Gerry ultimately refused to sign the Constitution. He cited reasons including his belief that the third branch, to use his words, will be oppressive. If you would like to hear the complete edition of this podcast, go to www.bingoforpatriots.com and scroll down under the Subscribe to American History for the Modern Patriot podcast tab. Then go down to the American History for the Modern Patriot episodes tab and click on that. Better yet, why not subscribe to both podcasts and choose each week whether you would like to listen to the 5-minute version or the comprehensive version. Until next time, this is Dr. Susan Rempel, encouraging you to remain motivated, vigilant, and engaged in the political process. Visit my website, www.bingoforpatriots.com, with more than 500 pages of documents, products, and information designed to motivate the modern patriot.